Good afternoon.
Love Talk
Happy
Radio.
Valentine's Day. Hey, God bless you. Any listeners on the line this morning? Excuse me, this afternoon. It's Valentine's Day, and I pray that everyone's day is great so far. But I just want to take a midday break and just bless your soul if I can with a word. I want you for the next 4 minutes just to listen and marinate on the music and think about where you are so far in your day and what you plan to do for the end of your day. If it didn't start out so good, you have a chance to recalibrate your day and think about where you want to go from here, what you want to do from here. And at the end of the music, I'll give my word. Phone number calling is 1-657-383-0510. Press 1 if you have to make a comment or whatever. Just listen right now. God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for life, breath, and strength, Lord. I thank you right now for every person that's on the line, Father. Father, no matter what faith they follow, Lord, I believe this word is a word that can reach anyone, Father. It's a natural struggle that we all go through. The enemy of our soul has no care about what faith you are, whether you're Muslim or Christian, Hare Krishna or Buddhist. The enemy of our soul, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates all humanity. He hates every man, every woman, every child. He has no preference for life because God preferenced us over him. God, we're his choice creation. So in that vein, I begin to start this message. The title of this message is Enemy, Enter Me, End of Me. From the time we're born, we're not children or babies, not born in sin, but we're born surrounded by sin. Sin surrounds us from the moment we're conceived. Truth be told, many of you were not conceived in a God-honoring covenant. Many of us were conceived after the club, after some drinks, experimenting with drugs, sometime rape, drug use. So many of us, even though life is from God and every life is a blessing, many of us didn't have a great start in this life. And the enemy job, which is to steal, kill, and destroy, he has no waste, no time in trying to take away the joy of either the parents' life or the children's life. And circumstances that happen when we do things out of the will of God, we open the door for Satan to make an inroad into our lives. John 10:10 says, specifically, that the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus came, he said, that you may have life and that more abundantly. Every day, and when people hear that, they don't really believe it because they say, how can I have this abundant life when my life started out like this? My life didn't start in the right way. Maybe my parents weren't together and I didn't have a great upbringing. I didn't have the love that I needed. I had the attention I needed. Maybe you weren't hugged enough. You weren't told that you were important. Turned you told that you were beautiful. Told that you had a purpose in this life. So if you didn't get it, it would be hard for you to give it. As a child, our first example of who God is or may be is our parents. And the problem is that our parents are people too, growing up in this life, trying to make their way. And like I said from the beginning of the sermon, that many of us weren't born in a God covenant circumstance. We weren't born in a plan. We weren't born with the parents getting together and saying, you know what, I love you and I care about you, so let's get together, let's get married and build a foundation, get a solid home and make provision and then that's a plan and have a family. Now, most of us come into this life by mistake, so it said. No mistakes in God, but there's mistakes in human lives. We do things and don't think about the circumstances, especially when we're younger. So many of us were born in a circumstance that wasn't exactly pleasing, that wasn't exactly a great start to a great life. But to God be the glory, no matter what you've been through, you may have been molested, you may have been neglected, you may have been hurt. And the Word of God also says that if we read it, and that's why the Word of God is so beneficial in our life, to give you a guideline and give you a kind of guideline for what's going on in the world. The world is in a beautiful, perfect place. That was God's willing. That was God's willing intention. But people choose to go their own way. People choose to do whatever they choose to do. And that's your parents, grandparents, everyone that goes through the same struggle against the enemy. The enemy's job is not, he can't make you do anything. But what he does is sets a table before you. He has his own people, his own spirits attached to you to watch and observe what you do. He can't be everywhere. He's not God. So he can't see everything. He doesn't know everything. He hears what you say. He sees what you does, what you do. Excuse me. He sees the things you're drawn to. Because each man is led away by his own lust. Each woman is led away by her own lust. Sin is hard to engage in. If we aren't attracted to it, if you're not attracted to drugs, that's not the way the enemy's going to try to attach your life. He's not going to try to come after you with drugs. If you like women, that's a way that he'll try to come after you. Women, if you like men, or you know that's you have missed, maybe your father wasn't there to love you enough, hug you enough, so you don't have enough reassurance or self-esteem. You're going to gravitate towards something that builds up in your mind, your self-esteem, that shows that you're worthy, that you're lovely, that you're beautiful. And many times what looks good to us when we're younger is not what is good for us. But, you know, we go through it, we go to school, and we find out that even in the midst of going to school, that, you know, that everything we do, everything we try to do, is not a blessed thing. We see the things that we're attracted to. We see the person that we want to be from other examples around us. We hear our parents saying, if you have great parents, you have good parents or people that care and love about you, they'll tell you, go to school, be nice, you know, serve God, be a good boy, learn, listen to your teachers. But you find that when you go to school, it's not all that nice. It's not all that sweet. The people don't always treat you nice because you treat them nice. There are other hurt people, and hurt people hurt people. So you're in this environment. You're listening to your parents tell you one thing before you go out the door, and you get to school and you get an environment that's hostile, that people talk about you if you don't have the right clothes on, that people talk about if you don't talk right, you're not groomed right, you don't fit the style for that group. There's cliques. There's things you don't fit in, and people will persecute you and take advantage of you and bully you. So it's hard for you to conceive this life about God and who he is and how he is in the world. So this is the enemy looking for a stronghold, looking for a way to continue to attack you, to take you away from the will of God. God is in the world, but the enemy wants to take you away from that environment. So the things that you're learning, the things that you're seeing, you can either choose to believe your parents and continue even though being persecuted and being scarred somewhat, or you can do what comes in the next part of this preach, is let the enemy, whatever you feed, whatever you give time to, that's what's going to grow. Feed the Spirit of God, you're going to get stronger in faith, stronger in understanding, stronger in loyalty. If you open the book, you read it, you pray, you listen. But if you don't, this is the second part, the enemy. This is the part that the devil tries to attract you to pick something off the table that's not glorifying to God. The enemy, that's the part of you, your self-will. The part of you that sees and desires things. They may not be of God. They may be good things. They may not be good things. But they're things you want and you believe that you should have. You believe you desire. You believe you deserve. So therefore, the devil has a foothold in your life right then. Every once in a while, I have to stop and give the phone number, 1-657-383-0510. I'm going to pause right here before I go into the second part, enemy. If there's any question, any slight quick comments, that's the number. Dial 1, hit 1, and you can, I guess, intercede the line. This is my first time trying this part, so I'll give a few seconds before I go into the second part, the enemy. God bless. I pray that there's someone on the line. I pray that people are listening. The second part of my sermon, the enemy, and the scripture I would give would be Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. The enemy. When we make our choices about what we want to do, where we want to go, and why we want to do it, this is not the devil or Satan moving you around. It's you who made the choice to follow your own way. All of us heard guidance, heard encouragement. We heard things on our growing up about, boy, you're not living right, or girl, you need to stop doing what you're doing. But at the time we're young, we don't really want to hear that. We really don't want to hear that. We just want to go our own way. We feel as though our right, that people, our parents are stifling us and holding us back from doing the things that we desire to do. So we all go our own way. We seek out the things that we want to seek out. Men seeking out women to see who they can prove their maleness and prove their prowess. Just coming into their own. Seeking to see how beautiful they are and how they can attract the opposite sex. And sometimes there's also all the other things about homosexuality and drug use and everything that we do, every sin that the devil puts before us It never feels bad at the beginning. If the sin that the devil puts before us was felt bad at the beginning, we wouldn't continue to do it. But sin doesn't feel bad at the beginning. Drugs, it doesn't feel bad at the beginning. You do it, it makes you feel good for a season, and you say, wow, I like this, the way this makes me feel. So you go after it. Before you know it, the drug you're chasing, you don't have to chase anymore. Now it's got a stranglehold on you, and that's what you're living your life chasing, living your life to do, forgetting about the things that are important in your life. Everything you choose has a recompense. If you are a womanizer, you chase it, you go after women, and you take advantage of your gift of gab or the vulnerability of women, and you think that you're doing something, but in essence, you're just sinning against God and your body. You put yourself at risk for STDs, for pregnancies that you aren't prepared for, which leads to animosity from the person that you choose to have a child with, possibly sexually transmitted diseases, court intervention because you haven't paid child support, you're not a good father, you're not a good mother, intervention in the system. Now, the things that seem so good, the things you made you laugh, now are making you cry. The choices we make, the things we choose to do, sometimes we blame the devil. It's not the devil. The devil just showed it to you. You pick off what you choose to. It takes even two people to sin. And many times you hear women angry at men and men angry at the woman they chose and they had a child by. The child has no say-so in what you did. He's an innocent victim. But you two are angry at each other, and you continue that anger into the courts, into sometimes physical, even physicality. If we would stop and think that anything that happens out of God's will, is going to bring a circumstance. It's going to bring a situation that we're not going to like. The end of the thing is so much better, so much worse than the beginning. Diseases, problems, anger, even anger, which results from a deflected life, from things that we chose and we had dreams, we had visions, and now they're deflected. Now they're not so clear-cut. They're not so, the road to those dreams is not so clear because the street life, things you've chosen, street life, choose to sell drugs and you want to be a baller, you want the attention, you like the adoration, like people following you. It's all good for a season. You're making money. You're living the life that you feel you want to live. But sooner or later comes the other part of that, the stick-up kids, the police, prison. And then many times, even death, ego, status, swag. It's all about you and how you look and how you manipulate your manipulative skills. But as you get older, you find out these things don't carry over. Your enemy has gotten so strong that the spirit man, you can't hear him. You can't hear him whisper to you. You can't hear him say stop. You can't hear him say that this is the wrong thing to do. You ignore the people in your life that try to show you love and try to put you back on the right path. It doesn't feel right. You feel like you're trying to control, take something away from you that you think is yours. The enemy has got such a hold on you that he's speaking for you now. The true you, the inner voice, the spiritual voice is so quiet, you can't hear it, and therefore it can't be seen. You come to a place where people in your own family that loves you and cared about you and love you start to give up on you and walk away from you. It's a sad situation. Many of us have found ourselves in, if you tell the truth, that it's killing your humanity. In order to go harder, be tougher, to justify your wrongdoing, you have to go further and deeper into sin. You have to ignore the good things. Push down your empathy. Push down your feelings for people. Because pain, drama, crime, sometimes even murder, comes along with that lifestyle. Is this the person you plan to be? Is this the person your parents raised? Does it even feel good to you late night when you're sleeping, you're thinking about how you want your life to turn out? God is leading you to a place, to a desert place, to a dry place. It may not seem like it makes sense, but we're all headed toward that oh God moment. That moment where everything you chose, all the things that you said you loved and you like to do, they've taken over your life. You have no control over your life. It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be sex. It could be stealing. It could be lying. It could be so many things. You can go to hell drug-free. So that's not the only sin that is out there that separates you from God. The Word of God says liars, thieves, idolaters, fornicators. All these will not see the kingdom of heaven. And many of us have been in one of those categories at one time or another. So the things we choose and the things that we said that was so good to us, now we're despairing. The life that we chose seems to be slipping away. We can't see it clearly. We can't envision those good things. Sometime now, at this point in life, all you want is your own place, your own food, your own clothing, your own wife, your own car. And they seem out of reach. It may seem like a horrible thing for mankind and your parents and your people around you. But for you, this is the beginning of possibly a better life. Right now, you're at the third part of the message. Hopefully, that oh God moment, the end of me. When we run out, when we finally cry out to God, the same God that we ignored, the God that we didn't think was vital to us in our life, the God that we didn't think was important. When as my life's in the streets, I've seen people shot, I've seen people stabbed, I've seen people hit with things, and I've never ever heard them say anything except, oh God, Jesus, or even sometimes, Mom, help me. Nobody wants to die like that without knowing where you're going, where your destination is, because you can't live like hell and expect heaven. That doesn't even make sense. So right now, at that oh God moment, where you become, where your life has become out of your control, have no fun, maybe no money, useless, people write you off, walk away. Don't you see, you don't see what you used to be. Oh God, if you're real, see me, hear me, deliver me, show me you're real. The end of me, when we get to that point in our life where we're tired of our own self and no one has to tell us that we're in a bad situation, we know it for ourselves. I've had that oh God moment, and many of you that if you're on the line, if you truth be told, you've had that oh God moment, where you finally recognize that your life is out of control, and you need God, you need a Savior, you need salvation, you need something to come in and change your life. I know that everyone on the line may not be a Christian, but this is what I profess. I'm a Christian, and I'm not bringing offense to anybody else, but this is what happened to me, the end of me. When I found myself in my mother's house and I didn't have anything, I wanted a house, a car, a wife, my own food, my own car, my own place to dwell where I could do what I wanted to do. And it was so far out of reach because of my own pride, arrogance, and ego. But one day I looked and I said what it said, that if I seek God with my whole heart, if I look after him, he's going to take care of my business. He's going to take away all my problems, the problems that I had, not all my problems, but the problems that was hindering me from having a good life, and take my way. So I decided to surrender. I gave my life over to the Lord. I said, Lord, please, if you can make anything out of my life, please take this sin away. Take the taste for drugs away. Take my pride away. I submit to you. I know that my mother and father were telling me right. I know that what you said to me in your word was right. So help me. And it's not just a miraculous thing. It's not just pop down out of the sky and just sit here. Come follow me. He gives you direction. Because the enemy is starting to die. You can start to hear the spirit man when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, telling you where to go, what to do, and how to do it. I went to Teen Challenge and began to change my life over, and all the things that I desired, the things that I wanted to do, God was slowly returning them to me. It's now 16 years later, and I'm married. Truth be told, I'm on the ministry. I'm speaking right now to you in a place where I never thought I would be. I have my life back, my children back. A blessed wife, a great life, I'm blessed. So I have to share what God has given me with you. To those that receive it, God bless you. To those that are still on the fence, I'm praying for you that God will give you your oh God moment before it's too late. That's it for today. If you need that, if you're at your oh God moment, just confess to the Lord with your mouth that you're a sinner, that you need him to come into your life and change it. And by the words of your mouth and by the meditation of your heart, God will deliver you. He'll accept you into the kingdom of God. You can go about listening to the Holy Spirit to straighten the life out and get the life that you deserve, the life that God wants for you, the perfect life. That's all I have for today. I pray that something I said will bless someone. I guess the number is still 1-657-383-0510. Press 1 to speak. If not, God bless you. Have a blessed day. I pray everyone has a great and fantastic Valentine's Day, and I hope everyone has the love they deserve. God bless you.
The place I wanna know, I wanna be.